Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, after a long summer break, Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Gentlemen, it is great to have our dream team back at the table again. Much to discuss over the summer. So much news from both New York and Pennsylvania. Don't know if you knew this or not, Jason, but New York got a new governor since last we chatted. Let's talk about the previous one for just a second. Many are wondering about a possible Cuomo comeback if he is not impeached. Do you think that will happen, the comeback and or the impeachment? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't see the impeachment happening. I think that ship has sailed. We hope to see that report released that the Assembly has been working on. We understand that millions have been spent in that investigation, and the people of New York deserve to know what was discovered about Governor Andrew Cuomo and the sexual harassment, the nursing homes, and so many other scandals that surrounded that. That being said, it is possible that Governor Cuomo could make a comeback. He is sitting on somewhere between $18 and $20 million in his campaign war chest, and that's a lot of money to rehab an image if he certainly wants to do that. I think he'll probably sit this cycle out, though, but down the road, I wouldn't be surprised if he reemerges in politics somewhere along the line.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see. I want to ask you about Cuomo's successor, Kathy Hochul, in just a minute, but first, let's head to Harrisburg. Michael Geer, welcome back to the program, sir. Want to ask a question about your governor as well. Now, he had his pandemic powers reined in back in May, so how is it that he can force his way on this face mask debate in school that is raging all across the Commonwealth?
Well, he's doing this mask mandate through unelected bureaucrats. It was an acting Secretary of Health who issued this mandate after the governor said he wouldn't do it. He said that it should be local controls, that school boards should make this decision. Then he asked the legislature to do it, and they refused. And so this unelected bureaucrat, using some legal powers in the law, used the Department of Health to impose this mandate. But already there's a lawsuit that's been filed by the Senate President Jake Corman and Butler School District and other school districts against it. And the legislature is coming back 2 weeks early to vote on restraining this power as well, because they're not happy with what is happening from the Wolf administration.
Yeah, face masks are one thing, Jason. Vaccine mandates are something else. State workers in New York, healthcare employees already subject to vaccine mandates. And with school in session, do you think it will be much longer before students are next in line on the COVID shot hit list, for lack of a better word?
Well, I think it's a matter of time that the legislature is going to try to make that happen. Right now, it is something that there is legislation that has been introduced by Senator Brad Hoyleman in Manhattan that would require that. Senator Hoyleman is not exactly a friend to those who are opposed to vaccination, so he has introduced legislation to add that. And I wouldn't be surprised if the legislature tries to take action when they come back in January.
Yeah. You know, I've been vaccinated. I'm glad I did. You know, people that are vaccinated have every right to do that if that's what's best for you and your family. But there's a certain percentage of the population, Michael, that's just not going to do it. There's nothing, there's no amount of bribery or punitive arrangement you can do that would change their mind. Wondering in Pennsylvania, is there much appetite there for vaccine mandates as this Delta variant surges this fall?
So no, not in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, certainly not with the leadership, the Republican leadership in the House and Senate. They're talking about and there have been proposals to actually ban a vaccine mandates in Pennsylvania, although I don't think that's going to get legs either, because the governor would certainly veto that. There are places like Philadelphia and others that are pushing it. We have private employers that are pushing these mandates, and I do think that at some point the governor is going to try to make it happen in the school setting in the same way that he's done it with the masks. But I don't think the legislature is going to sit by and let that happen easily.
All right, let's talk about Kathy Hochul on the job for just a couple of weeks. Jason, give us a progress report thus far. You had said on your website earlier you're hoping that this is someone you can work with. Based on what you've seen 2 weeks in, what kind of governor do you expect her to be, left, right, or in the middle?
Well, I still think she's a person we can have conversations with, but conversation doesn't necessarily mean good public policy. And we're seeing that what is happening with Governor Hochul is looking a lot like Governor Andrew Cuomo. Some have come to begin calling her Cuokul, as just kind of continuation of the same, and we're seeing that. So I think whatever you see in Andrew Cuomo, barring some of the sexual harassment and other things, you will probably see in Governor Kathy Hochul.
All right, Hochul, we'll see if that one sticks, Jason. We'll hold you to it. There is a lot happening on the sanctity of human life front across this country. Michael, I know you're very pleased to see in Texas that heartbeat bill become law, the Supreme Court refusing to overturn it. And that has ramifications in your state because Pennsylvania is trying to get through similar legislation. If you would talk where that stands, as well as this first ever March for Life that you have planned coming up here soon at the state capitol.
Yeah, there are significant issues in Pennsylvania on the pro-life front. From the heartbeat bill that's been introduced by Representative Stephanie Borowitz and Senator Doug Mastriano in the House and Senate, that legislation is pending, has passed out of committee in the House. There's other piece of pro-life legislation, but there's also a case before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that could result in a strike down, basically, of all Pennsylvania's pro-life laws. It could result in taxpayer-mandated taxpayer funding of abortion. So there's a lot for pro-life citizens across our state to be concerned about as well as excited about. And that's why we're excited about the Pennsylvania first ever Pennsylvania March for Life, Monday, September 27th, here at the state capitol from 11 to 1. Got a great lineup of speakers, including Abby Johnson and Ryan Bomberger, Speaker of the House Brian Cutler, and others will be speaking. Jeannie Mancini from the National March for Life organization. And we have buses coming, more than 75, I think, at count now, 75 buses coming from every corner of the state, including in the listening area, people who are hearing my voice, people who want to find out about the march and about the buses coming from potentially their area can go to pa.marchforlife.org. That's pa.marchforlife.org.
Again, mark your calendar Monday, September 27th for that first ever Pennsylvania March for Life. Want to talk about redistricting with both of you. Such an important topic heading into next year's midterms. Of course, both states will lose one congressional seat next year, and the gerrymandering is well underway. How is this process, such a political process, Jason, how is it playing out in the Empire State?
Yeah, it really is a mess here. We're going to lose a congressional seat here in New York. We know that. Where it's going to come from, it's probably going to be upstate New York. And so once again, we're going to see that the hand of New York City is strengthened, while upstate New York is probably going to suffer as a result of the loss of that congressional seat. So the policies downstate continue to hurt upstate even after the census.
Yeah. Redistricting in Pennsylvania as well. Now, you've got this five-member legislative reapportionment commission, Michael, that's spearheading this. What is that group, and how are they improving this whole process?
Well, the group on the reapportionment committee are the legislative leaders from the House and Senate, the Democrat minority leader in both chambers, and the Republican majority leader in both chambers, and then the former chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh, Mark Nordenberg. They're having hearings. They're taking votes on different policies that they want to enact in terms of redistricting. One of the recent votes, for example, was to count the prison populations in the different districts as part of that reapportionment and figuring out the districts. That's kind of an unusual move. It seems to me it was a 3-2 vote on that particular thing. It's going to be a mess, as Jason called it in New York. It's going to be a mess here in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania has not been winning blue ribbons in terms of doing elections well recently. 2018, the Supreme Court just redrew the congressional districts right in the middle of a primary. So it's going to be a dicey season coming forward.
All right, and we'll see what those lines look like early next year. Jason, we talked about the vaccine mandates. You've got a wonderful article about that on your website in New York if folks want to check it out. Where can they go and learn more?
albanyupdate.com.
And hey, that March for Life is quickly coming up in Pennsylvania, Monday, September 27th. If you want information on that or any other policy issue, Pennsylvania, Michael, what's your site, sir?
PAFamily.org.